we'll see how we go. So anyway, as a follower of Jesus, I have decided that God, who created the universe and who made me and knows me better than I know me, loves me and wants to have a part in my life. He actually wants to help me make the decisions to inform, you know, what happens. Does that make sense? Yeah. And the bonus is he loves me, right? So he unconditionally, more than we can possibly comprehend. So when I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 4, like Joshua did too, I decided to follow him with all my life and trust him with all my life. What does that really look like on a day-to-day basis? How can I tell that what I'm doing is the right thing? Well, firstly, for me, I guess I need to understand that my life is not just about my own story and standing alone. It doesn't hinge on the success of my life, doesn't hinge on my mistakes or failures, or even the if I potentially ever did anything amazing. I've decided that my life is part of a much, much bigger story, a story that God has been telling since the creation of the universe. And I'm excited and privileged to be a part of it. I've decided to serve God with all of who I am, all my fears and failings, and he can have all of it and do whatever he wants. I love these verses from Psalm 37. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. One thing I do to guide my decision-making is to decide what makes me super excited and do that. I've found that if I'm truly trying to seek God in my life, then the things I really, really want in this life seem to line up more with the things that I know God is excited about too. Ultimately, our God is a God of love. He loves all people, every single one. And if you read the Bible, it's pretty obvious that he's also really big on caring for the poor, the vulnerable, the oppressed. If I'm trying to follow this incredible, compassionate God, and I'm trying to be like him, I can't help but care about the people that he cares about. It's cool, too, that when we decide to follow Jesus, that God puts the Holy Spirit in our hearts to guide us and help us to love like he does. I love, too, that the Holy Spirit guides us away from the things sometimes that are not cool for us, the things and situations that might hurt us. Now, back to the verse. When it says that God, when we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart, he's not promising an easy journey. He's not saying, follow me and everything in your life will be sweet. My understanding is that when our delight is in God, he changes our perspectives. And the hard times too. He journeys with me, he journeys with us, and gives us joy deep in the core of our being, even in times when it doesn't make sense. Now, back to how I know what God is telling me. I would say it's fair to say that most of the time it doesn't feel like God tells me to do anything specific, but it's kind of like he said, here's my example, here's some wisdom in this amazing book, I'll be with you through whatever decisions you make. Now go. But sometimes I do feel clearly led to do certain things or speak to certain people, and it can be like a niggling little thought that just keeps coming back. Or sometimes I'm not even sure if the little whispery, quiet sense is actually from God or from my own brain. But sometimes on those occasions I'll be like, God, I think you might be saying this, but it could be my own brain, so I'm just going to do it and hope for the best. And I think God's cool with that, you know. He's like, so I just roll with it. I'm like, who knows, I think I have to do it. Only a few times has it been super clear to me, and like in terms of like words audibly in my head, that were obviously not from me. Sometimes God gives me dreams about certain situations, or a picture in my head about that might mean something. Sometimes God might speak to me through other people, like give me a message from somebody that only God would know, you know, that just completely applies to where I'm going. Sometimes I get a sense that something is going to happen. For years now, I felt like one day I'll be working with former refugees at the Mangere Refugee Resettlement Centre. Seriously, for years, if anyone mentioned the place, I'd get like a little flutter of excitement in my heart and a peaceful, like, excited sense that, yeah, maybe I'm going to be doing that one day, or something there. I don't know what it is, but I think God's going to put me there. I don't know. I just like right now, I have a strong sense that one day when our kids are older, that we're going to foster children. Dave doesn't have that same feeling yet. So I just keep telling him about it, and then one day maybe he'll think it was his idea. So anyway, so even when I don't get a clear message, I pretty much always, about what is right, I pretty much always get a clear sense of when something isn't right. I really feel dodgy on the inside, and I know that it's the Holy Spirit in me helping me to know what isn't right. I love that God might want to protect me, and he does want to protect me from the things that might hurt me or might not be the best plan for my life. Although he always gives us the right to choose, and it's up to us if we want to listen to his wisdom. So God invites us to be part of his story. He wants to journey with us closely in a real relationship, not from afar. I've read a book, well, actually I say that, but I've read like a third of it. You know when you have all these books and you're like, oh, I'm going to read that, yeah, get like 10 minutes, yeah, anyway. So I've read a third of this book, and the first third was really good, and one day I'm going to read the rest. But in this third of this book, Donald Miller, in this book called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, he talks about the concept of story. And in this book, he tells a story of a movie. Like, he wants you, well, he says, pretend there's this movie. And he tells the story, and it goes like this. There's a young man, I might have even told you guys this before, because every random now and then I get up and talk about stuff. Sorry if I've said this before, but it's something that stuck with me. So, tells the story of this young man, goes to high school, this young man finishes high school, and he sees this really flash car. He's like, whoa, that car is amazing. Okay, this is a movie, remember. You paid money, you've got your popcorn, you're sitting there, you're watching this movie. This kid sees this car. That car is incredible. I just got to have that car. What am I going to do? I'll go to university. I'll get a degree. That's it. Yep, and I'll get a really good job. That's what I'm going to do. So the kid does that. He goes to university. He studies. He gets a really good job. He when he's finished, he saves up his money, and then he goes and he buys this car. And that's the end of the movie. The end. Now, would that be a good movie? No, it would be so boring. Why is it then that so many people are content for their lives to run a similar script? You know, if we look at our lives and go, if my life was a movie, would anyone watch it? God invites us, every single one of us here, to be part of his story. And every single one of us has a unique and special part to play. Nobody else will be like me. And no one else will be like you. How about we all just stop feeling stink about that we're not like someone else and start being proactive with the gifts and talents that we have been given? One of the things that God has gifted me in is the ability to talk to anybody. I pretty much enjoy talking to anybody. Massive gangster dude, little kid, elderly person at the supermarket. Ah! Monique's frightening me with the camera. But part of that is how I'm wired, I think. Because like when I was little, you know, my mum and dad would take me to the beach when I was about 5. And they'd never bother taking friends because they knew I'd find some. They'd be like, she'll find some friends. And sure enough, I'd like toddle off, go find some random kid and, you know, friends. Yay. Anyway, so part of that is just who I am. But I think also part of it is is realizing and knowing that I have such freedom in the fact that it doesn't matter how boring I am, Jesus lives in me and he's exciting. So if I meet some random dude who looks scary and not like me at all, and I don't think, oh, he's not going to want to talk to me like mum of three teacher, I'm like, man, that dude would love to connect with Jesus. Jesus loves him. Jesus is in me. Hey, bro, what's up? You know? And you know that it doesn't matter about, we've got so much in common in the sense that we have the same big father, you know, the same dad. We're like kind of related almost, you know, already. Random, doesn't matter who it is. Anywho, so I want you guys to know that freedom as well, that whoever you are, God can use you. And it's exciting following God long term and also on a daily basis. And with God's Holy Spirit whispering and guiding, it really is an adventure every day, particularly when we listen and actually do what he says. I think there's real freedom in knowing God doesn't want us to be anyone else. He just wants us to be who we are, whoever we are. One of my favorite quotes is from John Anster's paraphrased translation of some writing from Goethe. There you go, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Seize this very minute what you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. So that's what I try to do. I'll read it again. Seize this very minute what you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. So that's what I try to do. I do stuff, I dream it, and I do it. So that brings me to the part where I tell you about what I've been up to lately. Last year, after seeing the global refugee crisis get worse and worse and worse, I decided that I needed to do something. So I wanted to do something to raise awareness of the plight of the refugees and also allow more people in the community to be connected to the cause. So I wanted to be useful with the skills that are in my little kitty, you know. So I rang the Red Cross and I said, look, I want to do this. I want to connect people from the community to this cause. What can I do? And they said, well, we have these morning teas for the newly arrived former refugees. We say former refugees because they were refugees, but now they're in New Zealand. They're our people, and they have a new home, so they're not refugees anymore. So anyway, we do this Red Cross lady, Heidi, she's awesome. She said, we do these morning teas on moving day. The day that the former refugees moved to their new home in the community. So they've been at the Mangere Refugee Resettlement Centre for 6 or 8 weeks, going to the doctor, learning a bit of English or whatever, learning how to drive, they get lessons. And then on this day, it's like really nerve-wracking for them because this is it. They're moving to their new home. For most of them, they don't know a soul. In New Zealand, it's absolutely so different to what they've ever known. And off they go, and they're going to go move into this house. So she said to me, we've had this church, they've been putting on these morning teas to welcome these guys, and they don't do that anymore. So maybe you could do one of those morning teas. And at the morning teas, we give them a bucket of cleaning products, like this. Just in case when I described cleaning products in a bucket, you were like, what? I thought, so anyway, she said, maybe, you know, you could do one of those 6 morning teas. And I was like, I'll do 6. and it turns out that I'm actually going to be doing them for the next few years. So that's one of my things on the side. I'm doing this. It's cool. And so the 6 intakes a year, each morning tea is between 5 and 15 families. It is amazing. It feels like making morning tea for Jesus. And it is, because he's in there. He's journeyed with these people the whole way. When they were in Syria, when they were in Myanmar, when they were in Sri Lanka, as people who were trodden on and like, oh, it doesn't bear thinking about what's happened to these people. God was with them. He was there hurting with them when they were hurting. And I think so when he's with them at Mangere and we love these people, he feels the love from us to them because he's with them and he's been on the whole journey. And I think that's so cool that we can love Jesus through loving these people and that we can love these people with Jesus' love too, you know? So, yeah, it's awesome. And something else I love about doing it too is, I mean, because I have to rally up a fair amount of support, cleaning products. So I have to get 15 of these buckets ready every 8 weeks, and they cost about $50 to put together, and I don't have that sort of money, sadly. But what's wonderful is I can go to like St. Anne's Church did it for us last time, and a random church on the North Shore, and I've had school kids making posters and just getting a whole bunch of different people involved. And I haven't really told you guys officially all about it yet, sorry, but here I go, I'm doing it now. And I would love you guys too, if there's, I'll talk about it later. There is something I'd love you guys to help me with. If you're interested, talk to me more about it later. I'm getting so sidetracked. Anyway, I can't help but think of that verse, you know, back to seeing Jesus in these people. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It's that simple, eh? I love also raising awareness of the issue of the global refugee crisis and also of former refugees in our community. I love raising awareness at a grassroots level. I love it that anybody who volunteers with us or comes and helps at the morning tea or gives a bar of soap can then go back to their own family and friends and community and school and say, "Hey, I just gave this random girl some soap and it was because of this, blah, blah." Or, "I went and helped today and I played with a bunch of little kids from Myanmar. They'd never seen Play-Doh before and I got to sit and play with them." You know, and that gives so many people stories and connection. It's fantastic. The other day I was at Chats and I saw a lady I recognised. I was like, "Oh, I know you." And it turns out she was the lady that owned the dairy when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, I would have gone and bought my 50 cent mixes off her all the time, you know. Like, well, not all the time. We didn't get many 50 cents, but... But she recognized me too, so I sat and had lunch with her. And she was telling me, you know, without my children, without my grandchildren, my life would have no purpose. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity, you know. And so I've talked to her about this, and she is so keen to come and help. And how cool that she can serve, and how cool that she can see God's love in action. And, you know, it's that next step for her, you know. Like, I think it's exciting. Right. As time goes on, I would love to have more connection with former refugees that settle in our area. I already have the privilege of being really good friends now with a couple of families who I've met through the morning teas. One Christian family from Syria who lives on Weymouth Road. Some of you guys might have met Katia. She's come along to a few events here, like Wonder Mums or and whatever. They're absolutely lovely, amazing people. And also a Muslim family, Palestinian people who from Iraq, and they've been in Malaysia for 9 years. And in Malaysia, there's no rights for refugees at all, no doctors, no education. You can't work legally. And Yusuf, my friend, who now lives in Lower Hutt, he said, you know, in New Zealand now, it's the first time I feel respected as a human being. And just like, these are beautiful people, and I just feel so privileged to be part of their lives. Now, I have a really little short video. I'm aware of the time, but I really want to show you this video. It's just about 4 minutes, let's say, 4 or 5 minutes. It's from the New Zealand Herald, and it is talking to one of the Red Cross volunteers. Then after that, we have one of our own people here who is volunteering at the moment coming to share for a couple of minutes. And then we'll be just about done. So,
refugee camps in several different countries Family members now live in New Zealand and parts of Europe, although one remains back in their country, which was Syria. Emma asked me to speak to the question of how I discerned, she used that word with me, instead of how I found out, that this is what God wanted me to do, how he placed me in this role. Briefly, the answer to this question is one of long-term development, of growing up in my faith and seeking to help others. As I look back over my life, I personally see a mishmash of skills and experiences, often to me with no conscious planning of moving forward, a planning or goal setting. This worldview of mine is undoubtedly untrue. I believe that as a child of God, he knows exactly who he wants me to be, that he developed me with character strengths, and that all my experiences and growth were planned. In brief, he led me to have a depth of compassion for people who fall into the category of what we call in social services the underserved, the disenfranchised. And about how God spoke to me, only very rarely in my life has he spoken with a direct command. Rather, he brings situations to my attention, just as Emma said. During my first few months in New Zealand, I listened to comments from many sources, unfortunately some negative, relating to this country accepting refugees. My own situation as a migrant is that I have every advantage with my skills, education, family, and financial support, making a transition to this country a relatively painless experience. My heart goes out to those who arrive here, not only with those without those advantages, but with long history of trauma. God placed this situation before me through many circumstances and many people. The family I'm working with is of the Muslim faith. I see the real opportunity of reaching out cross-culturally and across faiths to give hope, to defend the oppressed, and take up the cause in the name of the one true Father. My lifelong question has been, how do those who don't know Christ maintain hope for the future? The answer, I believe, is that we lend our faith, our hope in Christ Jesus, and walk alongside those in need. I'd also like to say to Emma, thank you for what you do. She said to me, you could come and help with morning tea. And I said, tea's not really my thing. She said, well, then go volunteer. So I did.
If you can dim the lights too, that'd be okay. Like the movies.
As human beings, we need shelter and safety, but we also need care and attention. We need friendship. We need human contact. I think in New Zealand we're incredibly lucky. We have all of these open spaces. We have a safe environment. I'm Pete McCran. I'm a Red Cross refugee resettlement volunteer, one of hundreds of volunteers working with refugees throughout New Zealand. I'm looking after a family of a father, Benjamin, who is 67, and his two adult sons are Stephen and Noor, from Iraq. They're Chaldean Christians from Iraq, so they come from Mosul, and when IS took over Mosul 2 years ago, they were forced to leave.
So he's working on it. He's trying to make it okay.
They haven't made a conscious decision to be here. Fate has brought them to this place, and it's hugely admirable to see the way they have embraced New Zealand. One of the challenges with the family that I'm working with is very limited English, but it's amazing how much you can communicate with a little bit of Aramaic, a lot of hand signals and gestures, and you can communicate most things. But ultimately, relationship is everything, and people are important, and when you spend time with people and enjoy being together, learn a little bit about them, really you can overcome any language barrier.
Forever,
for these guys, they will bring a part of themselves, a part of their culture, and you know, they add another layer to who we are as a nation. There's certainly moments where you appreciate just how significant this change is for them. This is not just about today and tomorrow, this is their future. To be able to come and help these guys, for me, is a privilege. I think New Zealanders are by nature very hospitable people. The Red Cross and other organisations are doing amazing work. There's a lot of volunteers. Frankly, I think we could be courageous and take more refugees. I think there's a lot of opportunity to support, and Kiwis are great at doing that.
So I'd love you guys to consider a few things. Please help me and help, well, let's all be used by God to love the former refugees in this community. When they turn up in our spaces, let's get alongside them. When their kids go to kindy with our kids, or if they're at your workplaces, get to know them, invite them to your homes, love them. You will be so blessed to know them. Also, believe it or not, here's something a bit funny. Hold on to your seats. I'm doing a half marathon in less like 2 weeks. Oh dear. That's all I have to say. It was one of those crazy, maybe I should do that. Can't justify not doing it. The Syrians have to walk 1,000 kilometres. So what's 21Ks if I'm going to raise some money for them? Oh. So yeah, cool. Pray for me that two things, that I will survive and that you will see me again in 3 weeks' time. But also, if you've got the capacity, I'd really appreciate someone to sponsor me, so then it's kind of worth it. I've had a few awesome people do that already, but all the money that I'm raising for that goes to World Vision's work with Syrian refugees, and over half of them are children. So please pray for my survival and please sponsor me. I'd love you also to give you guys the opportunity to help me with my Red Cross morning teas. I only can take 6 people each time to come and help on the day. So there's very few opportunities for that because I've got other groups that want to get involved too. But there is still space. If you're really keen, we can work it out. But what I would love from you guys is, please, and this is something that I can't ask from anybody, please would some people consider baking just once next year? I need, across the whole year, I need 36 batches of baking. So if you could like sign up and say, yes, I'll bake you something just once next year. And if I had 36 people do that, oh man, that would be incredible. And you'd know as too, you can get your whole family involved, and this is special. Talk to your kids. We're making a cake for these guys. Why are we doing it? Blah, blah, blah. Be amazing. Please help me. So I'm going to have a sheet out the back later, and you can write your name down so I can ring you back and say, did you really mean that about baking? And please, lastly, realize that God wants you. He wants to use you to do amazing things in this world. It doesn't rest on us, because it's his story of love, redemption and hope in this broken world full of hurt and pain. And he does it. It's him. It's us just going, use munted old me. Sure, whatevs. Do what you can. And he does. It's a really exciting story. Be part of it. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit to him everything that you do. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. And I will just pray for us. Lord God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, and somehow, Lord, we are in this place, and man, we're lucky to be here hearing about your love. Lord, we are loved. You love us so much. Thank you, Lord. And it's undeserved. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything special that means, I don't know, that you think we're awesome because we did something cool. Lord, you love us regardless, even if we suck, even if we've done real bad stuff and we're ashamed. Lord, you love us. Your love for us is here today for each one of us, wherever we are at. Even if we don't even believe in you, you love us. And Lord, I really pray that we would start to think about how you can use us in this world, where there are people suffering and in pain all around us. Help us to have your love, to be your light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.